نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور صدق الله العظيم. Today we're continuing with our topic about the spiritual disease which starts with vanity, ujub, and it keeps on increasing and expanding and swelling in our heart. Then we start developing the quality of kibr, fakhr, boasting, if we got a good quality in ourselves. Then, if this is not cured, it becomes like a cancer which keeps on expanding in our body. But this one is an abstract disease that expands, that swells in our body. Then it becomes takabbur, which is a very vicious, nefarious quality to develop in the heart. And then ultimately end up into istikbar, which is the quality of making zulam because we have a superiority feelings in our heart. Like Fir'aun was doing, like Iblis is doing. These diseases need to be treated. Last week we dealt with the quality of ujub, that is the quality of not harming others, but we feel that we got something, we are great because of some excellence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. But from there on, if this disease is not cured, we come to the next stage. We start talking about it. This is what we call fakhr, kibr. This excellence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, we start boasting about it. And this is another very, very bad disease because people do not like to sit with people who just like to run their own show. And you know, you meet your friends, he always talk about his wife is beautiful, or his son is doing very well in school, or you met a businessman, he always talk about his bank balance sheet, or his bank balance, or his business is doing like this. Or you talk about somebody who is teaching, I got so much student, he did talk about his student, it becomes boring. People do not like to sit in this type of companies. The very first thing is, we boast ourselves, we start living in our own world, and then people start keeping away from us. But then it's not stopping there only, it goes further, it develops into takabbur, pride, and that's very, very serious disease. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a hadith, whoever has the size, the amount of an atom of pride in his heart, he will not enter Jannah. This is how serious this is. It's not a simple disease that we are talking here. It is a disease that will not allow us to enter Jannah. And ulama ikram explained that this disease is so subtle in us, so hidden in us, that you need a Shaykh Kamil to pick it up. Because it takes so various forms, it is like a chameleon. It keeps on changing color in us. It comes from different angles in us. Takabur manifests itself in different ways. For example, if I am an alim and people do not show respect to me, and I feel it inside, my face change. For example, there's a gathering, few alim here, they don't choose me to do imamat and my face change. It is a sign of kibr. It is a sign of takabbur, ulama kiram explain. You go, you pass by a group of people, and you expect them to make salam to you. That is a sign of takabbur. Ulama kiram explain, this also is a sign of takabbur. Like this, there are so many ways kibr can come in the heart of a person, we don't even pick it up. We don't even pick it up that we have this disease. Just like a person who is having diabetes, he doesn't know he's having diabetes. He feels a bit thirsty. He thinks he's thirsty. Meanwhile, his blood sugar is up, but he feels he is thirsty. Then he gets a cut, it's not coming right. Say, okay, it'll come right. Let's put some plaster on it, it'll come right. Meanwhile, it is diabetes eating him inside until finally he gets into a coma. The same thing with takabbur. We don't know how this is eating us inside and we are not curing it, yet it is manifesting itself through various angles in our body. Only if we sit in the company of a Shaykh Kamil, this he will be able to pick it up for us. For this reason today, though it does not concern tasawwuf directly, but I would like to give you a bird's eye view, how to choose, what are the things to look for a spiritual mentor, so that you can find somebody who will guide us. It's very, very important, as we said last time, that there is a difference. We read books on our own. Like today's time, we'll find many people are becoming mujtahid. What my late teacher, Professor Abdul Rahman Deo, rahmallah, used to say, the zedo mujtahid, the false mujtahid. They read books and they think they have become like Imam Bukhari. They have become like Imam Shafi. They are like Imam Abu Hanifa by reading books. This has never been the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's sending books. Allah has sent Nabi with Allah has sent Nabi without books. Allah never sent any books without Nabi. All the books that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent, He has sent a Nabi with it. In the same way, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, when the Quran was being compiled, if you read Tariq on Ulum al-Quran, this branch of Sharia, what you study, the different sciences you must study before you go into Quran, one of it is Jam' al-Quran, how the Quran was compiled and how it reached us. There you will find that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, there was a battle in Azerbaijan, where the Muslims, because of ikhtilaf, the different ways of the Quran, they were fighting among themselves. So this news reached Medina. I'm really summarizing it for you. Then he looked at it, he says there will be a problem. We got to write one Quran where all the qiraat will be there. And this one, because the Quran that we have today is called Mushaf-e Uthmani. So when Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala did the final copy of the Quran, he gathered all the other Quran and he destroyed them. But the five manuscripts that was prepared, three of them are still there in the world. One is in Tashkent, one is in Tokapi Museum. The other three, I forgot where they are. The research has been done. The one in Tokapi Museum in Istanbul is still there. The one written at the time of Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu. He prepared five copies of the Quran. He could have sent it in the main cities. With each Quran, each copy of the Quran, he sent an expert in Qiraat to teach it. One in Kufa, one in Dimash, one in Makkah, one in Medina, and the other one I forgot. Five he prepared. Again, this gives us a very important lesson. Opening books on our own is good, but we have to. This ulum in Nabawi is passed on through Ustad. Nobody became an expert in Sharia on his own. If we want to acquire some acumen, we must get into a silsila. This is why you will find a great, great scholar like Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi says, the knowledge of a person, he must see from who he is getting that knowledge. This is why you will find Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi in his time, when he was collecting hadith, he started the concept of masnad of hadith. What is your chain of narrators of hadith? In the time of Abu Hanifa, this was not prevailing. In the time of Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayhi, this was not prevailing. But in the time of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi was born in the year 150 Hijri. So 150 years, it was time for him to check. We're talking about the Tabi'i, Tabi'i already. He was checking where this knowledge was coming from, where this hadith was coming from. So in the same way, if we want to make our Islam, it's not opening books only. Opening books is good, but we must make sure that we are in a silsila. We are in somebody who got it and who got a silsila that goes to Rasulullah Islam. Now, there are so many silsilas, just like fiqh. There are so many types of fiqh. Hanafi, Maliki, so many. In the same way, you'll find that in the silsila of tasawwuf, the school of thought, if I can use this word, in tasawwuf also there are many. But depending from what is your background, what is your level of understanding, you have to choose somebody to guide you. Mawlana Masihullah Khan Sahab rahmatullah alayhi, what I'm giving you is from Mawlana Masihullah Khan Sahab, which is quite detailed. I don't expect you to buy heart it, but just to have a bird's eye view for those who want to make the Islah, who want to come in the company of a sheikh to make his own Islah. By now we have heard approximately 20 speech we have done. By now, I think we have the desire to make our Islah. It's the time for us to look for somebody. If we do not have somebody, what are the qualities we look? Because these are the people who will pinpoint our spiritual disease. The first one is, he must be a person who has full knowledge and experience in the spiritual ailments. That is our amraz-e batiniya. All the spiritual disease that we have taught, hasad, kina, envy, iqd, and all the disease that we have taught, he knows about the disease. And at the same time, he knows about the akhlaq-e hamida, what the good qualities that must go in the heart. He can analyze the heart, just like a physical doctor, a physician, he will look at you, take your pulse, we know whether something is wrong in your heart. Now, you see, your heart is here, your pulse is here, but there is a link. He's a physician. He will know why he's taking your pulse. In the same way, the physical, the spiritual doctor, he will pinpoint your disease and he will know what are the attributes. So we must make sure that the person that we are going to choose as our spiritual mentor is a person well-versed in those fields. Number two, in other words, how we know he's well-versed? Most ulama will accept him. Like Mawlana Masihullah Khan Sahib was well-known. Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi was well-known. Mawlana Abrar Rahmatullah Alayhi, who just passed away, was well-known. There's so many, they're well-known. Those who are well-versed in the field, they will respect him. In the Arab world also, there's so many great, great scholars, great, great wali of Allah in the Arab world as well, which maybe we don't know, but definitely there are in Mauritania, in Morocco, in Mali. I have come to those people, alhamdulillah, great wali of Allah. Sahib-e-Karamat, sunnat from head to toe, sunnat in their lives. They spend their life in tahajjud. We met those people as well. It's not in only Indo-Pak that you have the great wali of Allah. That's not right to develop this mentality. In the great Arab world also, in England also, you can have great wali of Allah. In China also, you can have great wali of Allah. So we must not be biased with those issues. But if you have munasabat with somebody who speaks Urdu because we speak Urdu, alhamdulillah, or we speak Urdu because your sheikh speaks Arabic, that's something else. But we must learn to respect all the people's shuyukh. The second thing is, he distinguish between the similarities. As I explained to you, how, for example, what is the difference between wujb, vanity, and number two, how would this differentiate between wujb and takabbur? Takabbur is when you say it, you manifest, you need two people. Wujb is within yourself. We discussed it 2 weeks ago. So he will know all the differences within all the diseases. That's very important, because if he cannot differentiate, a person has a pain here, the doctor can give him a panado. But the heart specialist will say, is the disease starting here and going all over, or is it only here? Because if it's all over, the heart specialist will pick it up, it has something to do with the heart. It's a pain, same place, but the heart specialist will pick it up. What disease is it? Is it a muscular disease, or is it a heart, got to do with the heart? So this is where the small difference, the sheikh will pick it up. We can't pick it up. So they will be able to distinguish between all the things. Number three, there's a device prescription. When we got, for example, we don't have control over our anger, he will know how to give us a prescription to control our anger. We have the disease of talking too much. He will give us a prescription to bring down our speech under control. We have the disease of looking at a strange woman. He will know how a prescription to give us. And that's very, very important. One Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was having in his masjid a lot of people coming. So there was a person, he used to fix the shoes of people. In his heart, that was a great thing. He was doing his own Islah. What he was doing? He thinks that when he put the shoes of the people, okay, he will do his own Islah. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi stopped him. Because in fixing the shoes, he was deciding to do his own Islah, his own reform. That was bad for him. Because he was started developing a type of arrogance in him. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi stopped him. He said, no, that's not for you. So how to prescribe for a spiritual disease, that also is a very, very important thing. Every person, depending on the temperament, depending on the level of education, depending on their mahol, depending on the background, there's so many things to consider before you prescribe a spiritual remedy for a person. Again, this is why it's very important that your sheikh is such a level that he can prescribe to you. The next one is, he must be able to observe your progress and if you're going backward. That also is very important. And how he will know that? One kami that most of us who take bed, we have this problem is we do not want to tell our sheikh of our disease. How he will know? He's not alimul ghaib. Allah only is alimul ghaib. So we expect our sheikh is alimul ghaib will know. He's in India there, he will know what is happening to us. No, we got to write letters, we got to make phone calls, keep communication, tell him our halat, then on that he will check whether we are progressing or we are not progressing. As I told you last time, there was a person, Damwar Shafdi Thami, what was happening, he was seeing nur, light all over the show. And he thinks he became Wali of Allah. Damwar Shafdi Thami called him, said, what are you doing here? You think you're Wali of Allah? Meanwhile, what's happening, he was not sleeping, and his brain was becoming like dry, and he was seeing light. So Mashafi Thanvi had to rectify him. He thinks he was becoming a great wali of Allah. So this shaitan can play with us, our nafs can play with us. We need our sheikh to guide us on those issues. Another thing is, he must be able to differentiate, to distinguish between the various intuitive and extrasensory feelings. At times the murid gets kashf. At times it was waswasa from shaitan. Kashf means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unveil something for you. Various ways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can put it in your heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give it to you in your dream, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so many ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can communicate with you. Now, the sheikh must be able to differentiate all the things. At times it is waswasa from shaitan, at times it is waswasa from nafs also. At times, like for example, many women got a disease, what we call the postnatal depression. At times the physical disease as well, which got to do with the mind. Now, it's not the sheikh's work to do that. Now you must go to a doctor, not the sheikh. The sheikh will tell you, okay, this is not a spiritual disease. Now, don't go and trouble the sheikh every now and then. You must go to a doctor to sort out this problem. Some people think they got jadu. Meanwhile, it's a depression. So all those things are very, very important that we must keep in mind when we choose a sheikh. Another important aspect we must look at, Muhammad Rasulullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says, is he must come from a recognized silsila. A chain of awliya. That is, he has been getting khilafat from the chain coming from whatever. It may go up to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anh, it can go through Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, and whoever the Sahabi who passed it on, he can trace it back. That's very important, what you call in the science of hadith, tawatur. It is an unbroken chain, just like hadith. A hadith which is sahih, it comes from Rasulullah Sallam up to the muhaddith who have written it down. In the same way, the silsila will go up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That also is very, very important, right? Ibn Arabi rahmatullah alayhi was a great, great wali of Allah. There has been some criticism against Ibn Arabi rahmatullah alayhi, but those people who have criticized them, you will realize if you read their books, they are not people who are well versed in the field of tasawwuf. Many people have criticized Ibn Arabi that he is some, like for example, the big bahas between Ibn Arabi rahmatullah alayhi, I'm just mentioning it maybe for those who are reading the academic books on tasawwuf, you will find there's a debate between, I'm just deviating a little, just in case you come through that in books, you know where I'm coming. There was a big debate in the theory of pantheism. Pantheism means, it's a theory where it tells you Allah is in everything, therefore everything is Allah. It's a debate. Don't break your head with that. Ibn Arabi rahmatullah alayhi wanted those debate. Then, Ahmad Sinhindi rahmatullah alayhi, Mujaddid al-Faisani, he said this is not right, this is kufr. But now if you read Hujjatullah al-Baligha by Shawal al-Dahlavi rahmatullah alayhi, this is one of the karamat of Shawal al-Dahlavi rahmatullah alayhi, he has reconciled that. He said this is only a semantic differentiation. It's, in fact, Ibn Arabi doesn't tell you everything is Allah. He has gone into the details, this big, big debate. Who is Allah? Is a big debate of Ibn Arabi and Ahmad Sinhindi rahmatullah alayhi, Mawlana Shawal al-Dahlavi rahmatullah alayhi has sorted out this problem. This was a problem that had been going for more than 500-600 years. Just imagine, one issue. So tasawwuf also got its academic dimension. I'll just mention this, by the way. Don't go home and tell your wife about pantheism. She won't understand what you're talking here. It's a big problem. Anyway, so Ibn Arabi rahmatullah alayhi was a great wali of Allah. He says there are three qualities you look in your sheikh. Number one is deen. How much deen is reflected in him? The very, very first sign that you look, the whole thing what we have described here, you can summarize it in three things. How much deen is reflected in him? The very first sign you will find is sunnah. How much sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in him? Like Maulana Abdul Haq Sahab rahmatullah alayhi, who passed away, he was known as Muhyi Sunnah, the one who revived Sunnah. He revived Sunnah. A small, small Sunnah. I don't know whether those who were here last week when Maulana Ayub Sahib gave a bayan, where he, I think it was in Mozambique, where he gave azan in front of Imam Sahib for Jummah, where on that specific spot where he was standing, even that Maulana Abdul Haq Sahib wanted the exact spot. Even that small, small thing he was looking at. So, Sunnah. How much pabandi and sunnah is very, very important, because shaitan, one trick of shaitan is, first shaitan will work on your nafafil. When we start neglecting our nawafil, our roza nafil, our namaz nafil, we start neglecting it, then shaitan will start with our sunnat ghair muakkada. Then when we start with our sunnat ghair muakkada, shaitan will attack our sunnat muakkada. When our sunnah muakkada also we start living it, we have the courage to neglect the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A sunnah of Rasulullah has no value in our heart because of dunya, then you start attacking your wajibat. Then your fara'i is gone. When the fara'i is gone, then the heart is left. Then shaitan sits in the heart, zulmat comes in the heart. This is the strategy that shaitan uses. For this reason, ulama kiram says, the small sunnah which we call is small in inverted commas are not small sunnah. These are a strategic war, the war strategy of shaitan and nafs. They will attack our sunnah first to get to our heart. So this is very, very important that what Ibn Arabi rahmatullah said, that your sheikh must have the sunnah, have deen in him. He has paban and deen, tahajjud guzar, akhlaq, etc. is him. Number two, he prescribed like a physician. When you go to him with a disease, you just sit with him, he will know what are your disease and he'll give you the prescription. Number three, he controls like a king. Subhanallah. And this you will see it. I've seen my own eyes many times. The great Akabir comes. If you like, you will find that Allahu Akbar. I know one friend of mine. He's married to one of the muhtamim in our Darul Ulooms in South Africa. You know, ajib how his mind works. I'm not telling you to go to that extent, but just to show you how much people love them. They want to get munasabat with your sheikh. If the sheikh go to toilet, my mind doesn't go in that direction. He go and fill the water in the toilet for the sheikh. This the level he loves him. To that level he goes. Just think how much love he has developed. Where his mind is going to be as a disposal. Because he value the sheikh who is making his islah. The munasabat is developed. And that's something extremely important. Extremely important. That there must be compatibility between you and the person who will make your islah. Compatibility, there are two levels of compatibility. One is a munasabat is tab'i. Naturally you like the person, he's handsome or he's from your group or whatever. You like him, take bait with him. The second one is munasabat aqli. Intellectually you are on the same level. What I mean by same level, you are prepared to understand him. Because if we are not willing to have this munasabat, if intellectually we are not prepared, we haven't made a mindset to submit to what he's going to tell us, our reform will never, ever, ever be made. All the mujahadat he will try to make with us, we're going to have reservation. He tells us to make zikr, we're going to have reservation. Where is hadith? Is his sanad sahih? Essentially, if we're an alim, we will start taking his sanad. But this, Imam Bukhari have said this and that. What will happen? Shaitan will come in the way, nafs will come in the way. So not only there must be a natural love for the sheikh, but also intellectually we must be prepared, develop ourselves to the same way that we are going to serve him. If in case, what does munasabat mean? That's very, very important. It's not just to, munasabat would mean your heart will submit to him. Though mentally there can be a disagreement, but your heart is not going to affect your heart. This disagreement is not going to affect your heart. That's very important. For this reason, ulama says you go and spend some time with him. He knows you and you know him. Then only your islah will be made. Because sitting in the sohbat of the sheikh, first advantage you're going to have. The very first, simple thing, the dua. The dua. Because remember, Ibn Arabi says he controls like a king. A king will know his subject. Maybe he doesn't know your name, but he gazes their thoughts on you. He makes you salam, his dua, because they are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first thing is a dua. Number two, you will try to emulate him, to imitate him. When you imitate him, it's going to be the imitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like this, there are about 12, 15 advantages that you will get while sitting in the company. And of course, once you take bed, there's a hukuk of the sheikh. You've got to, for example, adab-e-majlis, have to sit in his company, must not talk, raise voice with him, must respect him. There's so many adab which there's no time to talk. But keep it in mind that if you decide to have somebody as your spiritual mentor, these are the guidelines that Maulana Masroor Khan Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi has given to us, which need to be followed. Coming back to our topic is takabbur. This was why I mentioned it, is what is the purpose of talking about all the disease if we cannot cure it? And the way to cure it, you go to the doctor, the spiritual doctors. And this is why I have take some of your time to give you some guidelines, how if you decide to take somebody as your spiritual mentor, whoever it is in Europe, Pakistan, in the Arab world, in Mauritania, Mali, wherever, you want somebody compatible with you. These are the guidelines that the ulama kiram have laid down for us. They are very, very important, because if there is no munasabah between us and our sheikh, there cannot be Islam. We'll be hitting the air. We'll be hitting the air. So coming back to takabbur, takabbur is such a disease which, because of excellences Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, voluntarily we look down upon others. If it is involuntary, it's not a guna. But if it is voluntarily, we keep on calling this thought in us, and we manifest this in our actions, in our words, then it becomes a sin. This is where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a person who got takabbur will not enter Jannah. Now takabbur can manifest itself in various ways. Various ways takabbur can manifest ourselves. The first one is the feeling of superiority. You will find, for example, a businessman. His business is doing very well. Now he feels something. Oh, I got money. With this money, now what is he going to do? Going to make an aggressive marketing. They're going to call it marketing. Meanwhile, what he wants to do? He doesn't want his competitor to have a living. The same thing like Firon did. Firon didn't want the son of the Bani Israel and started killing all the sons. Why? He was afraid of his throne. This is another type of takabur which ends up in istikbar. That is, this feeling, you use it to make zulam on others. In the same way, a scientist, we invest so much on our science. In this university, we invest so much in science. Ultimately, what the science takes you where? Organizing bombs and make pillage of other poor countries? This is where the science is taking us today. There are books written on that, how science is destroying the world. The other way is literature. Literature, what is it? Oh, we got that better English. We develop hermeneutics and all type of terms being used to work on your mind that you don't know where you're going, and it becomes a cultural issue. If you read the life of Southern Africa, how the Spanish took over and how they implemented Christianity, at what cost it was implemented there, you will understand what I'm saying. How the people were cut into pieces and thrown to dogs. The West Islam was spread with a sword. Read the life of the South American people, what Christianity did in South America, then you will know. This happened. Today, this people are speaking only Spanish. Brazil was taken over by Portugal, so it's Portuguese. So it's imposing their language. And this is not there only. Look what the French have done in Algeria, in Morocco, in Tunisia, in Syria. Go and study history. You will know what I'm saying. In the same way, go and read the history of British colonization or the Dutch colonization of Indonesia. You will understand what I'm saying. How they enslave free people. All this, why? Because of cultural, your language. You want to play with their language. And that's not only with them. Even with the Arabs, you will find it. The Arabs, they were calling the non-Arab Ajam. Ajam is dumb. They were so proud of their language, they were calling the non-Arab Ajam. Even in language, there is takabbur. Even in language. This is what the Quran was revealed in Arabic, to crush this takabbur in the Arabs. Quran was revealed in that. Alif Lam Mim, challenging them. What is Alif Lam Mim? They don't know. To crush this takabbur they had in them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Arabic language, in the Quran in Arabic language. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. So that you can understand. You know too much? Then Allah sent, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ فَاتُّوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ. If you are doubting in what we have revealed our Nabi, bring one. Allah challenges the Arabs, the Quraysh, who are Arab, who are eloquent. In the Arabic, Allah challenged because they were developing fakhr in their language. Language being fakhr, language being takabbur. We never thought about it, but this is a spiritual disease. Allah has addressed this in the Quran. So this is one. Feeling of superiority. The second one is to show contempt and scorn for others, looking down upon others. Look down. Ah, this one is poor. Oh, this one is dirty. This one. In masjid also we come. We don't want to stand by somebody. We don't want to rub our shoulders with somebody. Isn't it? We see there is dhamar in masjid. The sign of takabbur, brothers. We don't realize it. We got a disease in our heart. We don't even know. This is why it's important to have a sheikh. Another one is takabbur in beauty. Some women, they are beautiful. Now, the girls are beautiful. The parents are taking the beauty of this girl into consideration. Proposal coming now. Good proposal. No, you don't have enough money. Your qualification is not good. The girl, now the parents are taking takabbur in the beauty of the girl. We don't realize that all these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, it will go away. The next one is in wealth. Some affluent people, not all, some affluent people, some are very generous, alhamdulillah, they don't take takabur in their wealth. Some people, they got money. Because of that money, they developed kibr. Takabur developed in them. They start talking arrogantly with other people. They make other people feel low. When you go for chanda, tell the Maulvi Sahib to wait there. Bhai, the Maulvi Sahib is doing you a favor, he's coming by your place. He's doing you a favor. Eh? If you read the life of Maulana Siddiq Bahanwi Sahib, you'll understand what I'm saying on this point here. You'll understand. It's our duty to go to the Maulvi Sahib to give the money to run the darroom, the madrasa and so on. It's not the duty of the Muhtami. He's doing us a favor to come to our place. We must appreciate that. But our way of thinking is wrong because we got money. That's wrong. It's a wrong attitude. We want the qadar of ilam. Without ulama, where we go? Even to make our kafan dafa, we need ulama. To put on our kafan also, we need ulama. To make our khatna also, we need ulama. To give birth, to give azan in our ears, too, we need ulama. Now, because we get some money, ulama must come to our office to take money. This is not the right attitude. We must make qadar of ulama. Then it's strength. As you know, if a person gets strength, he will develop takabur. Another quality that will develop takabur is if you have a lot of things. You will find that many teachers, even in Dalums, in Makatibs, in universities, they have takabur. How many students we got? Or even in tasawuf, you can have takabur. The sheikh will say, I got so many disciples. So many people are bait to me. That also, the sheikh himself is sick. He got a spiritual disease, he doesn't know. That is also possible. So this takabur is such a disease. It permeates our life, every fiber, every vein in our body goes. But if you don't have somebody to pick it up for us, then unfortunately it's like a cancer that will make zulmat on our heart and our heart will die. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us against this. For this reason now, the treatment for that, to treat this quality of takabbur, brothers, ulama kiram has given lot of nuskha. First of all, we have to realize that what is our origin? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many places in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, men think where he comes from. He comes from nutfa. Nutfa, which is sperm, which has a bad odor, bad smell. Eh? This is fertilizing the ovum of the wife. We created you from that. Who are you? You didn't have bones, you didn't have ears, you didn't have eyes. We gave you to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave all the things to us. We don't even realize all those favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, the Surah Dhaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there was a time where man was not even worth of being mentioned. And we created him from nutfa. We were inexistent. Allah brought us in existence. Allah brought us in existence to appreciate him. But we are rebelling against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're doing the contrary for the purpose of our creation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to ponder upon that. How, in fact, if this was al-Hajj and other places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the full detail how human being is developed. In fact, Dr. Moore has written a book on gynecology. He says that it's unreal how a book revealed in those days with ultra precision with the step of the embryonic development. There are 5 stages mentioned in the Quran. I don't have time to go into the details. There are books and books written on that, on genetics and all the things. What the Quran have said those so many years ago. And there's still so much to be developed in the field of genetic engineering. Anyway, another thing that we must see is, what do we carry with us 24 hours? This is tummy here. Think about it, brothers. 24 hours we carry filth. It's only the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has not let it exposed. Just imagine a person who suffers from cancer, brothers. When the death comes near, there are a smell coming. Very few people want to stand nearby there. Because the cells start deteriorating. This one simple disease. Now, those filth, which everybody knows how it is, we're carrying that 24 hours. Who are we? Who are we? For us to have takabbur. For this reason, we must have gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must have to develop humility, humbleness in us. This is the way to make our Islam. Sit in the company of people who are humble. Once Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala was a great sahabi. He's the one who reported the most amount of hadith. He entered in a gathering of tabi'in. They started standing up, respecting him. And when he came up, because he was a companion of Rasulullah, so the tabi'in showed a lot of respect to him. He said, why are you people are doing that? Because they told him that you are the companion of Rasulullah. He said, no. I am the worst among you here. Look, Abu Huraira radiallahu anh, the one who transmitted more than 4,000 hadith, plus minus. Look what how he was looking at him. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anh, once people asked him, who is superior, you or Abu Bakr? Say, Abu Bakr. Say, who is superior, you or Ali? Umar? Say, Umar. He is nothing. Yet Hazrat Ali radiallahu anh, we did talk about it, what a great Jalalil Qadr Sahabi he was. Last week itself we talked about Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Battle of Hudayn, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given patient way, I'm going to give the flag to a person who loves Allah and His Rasul. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anh, they have killed all of this fanaan here. They have killed their nafs. They have killed their nafs completely. Kwam kuch bhi nahi hai. We are nothing, Allah. We are nothing. We are nothing. Until we do not achieve that level, this takabur will sit with us. This takabur will sit with us. One, Abu Zar Ghaffari radiallahu anh, I'm going to tell you that, I'm going to stop. Abu Zar Ghaffari radiallahu anh, great Jalilul Qadr Sahabi, great Jalilul Qadr Sahabi. Those who know Abu Zar Ghaffari, there are books and books written on him. Not an ordinary Sahabi. He was not an ordinary Sahabi. Rasulullah also said how he's going to die also. Rasulullah has said, who will even give his ghusl? This type of Sahabi I'm talking, not ordinary Sahabi I'm talking. Great Sahabi, among the first person to enter Islam. He passed a comment on Abu Bilal radiallahu anh. It happened. He told him, you are black. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anh reported it to Rasulullah. It slipped off the tongue and it happens. He didn't mean it. It happens. Abu Zar radiallahu anh made sure that Bilal radiallahu anh put his feet on his face. He insisted so much to crush this while this came out of his mouth. Because Bilal radiallahu anh was not an ordinary Sahabi. Rasulullah was in Miraj, and in Miraj he heard the echo of his steps in the earth, in the world. Was that an ordinary Sahabi? So look how Sahaba themselves, they made their own Islam. They knew what was wrong with them. Immediately they were doing it. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anh, once he did something wrong, I forgot what slipped my mind. He carried a bag on his shoulder and he walked in front of the people, said, the Khalifa is coming, Khalifa is coming, make way, make way. He doesn't humiliate himself. He, to remove, if ever there is any disease in his heart, how he was removing those disease. Mawlana Shafi'i Thani rahmatullah alayh gave a ajeeb prescription. It comes to my mind. If you do something wrong, this type of thing comes in your heart, punish yourself. Do 20 rakat nafil. Punish yourself. Read 20 rakat nafil. Every this type of thought coming once, twice, then the nafs will get tired of you. The nafs will come right. Read 20 rakat. Each time we do something wrong, punish ourselves with 20 rakat. This is a sunnah of Sahaba, to punish yourself, to punish the nafs, I mean. Not ourselves, to punish the nafs. If not, nafs will sit on the head. Our heart, our nafs must be controlled with our heart and our aqal. And our aqal must be controlled by Sharia. Very important. Haji Paja rahmatullah alayhi has told us this. Our heart, our nafs must be controlled with our intellect. And our intellect must be controlled by Sharia. Don't apply intellect above Sharia. Let's just stop here now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice upon what have you said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times in our heart. Inshallah, Allah will put nur in our heart.
حولنا الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين وجاز القوة المتين ويا أرحم الراحمين يا بديع السماوات والأرض يا حي يا قيوم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حنان يا منان يا رب العالمين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد بعدد كل معلوم لك اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن ونعوذ بك من العجز والكسل ونعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل ونعوذ بك من غلطة الدين وقهر الرجال ربنا زدنا علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وحلالا وطيبا وعملا صالحا ومتقبلا وشفاء من كل داء وقلبا منورا ولسانا ذاكرا وإيمانا كاملا ويقينا صالحا وخلقا حميدا اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان ولك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله Thank you.